This is exciting. Alfred Hitchcock's Rear Window is on the syllabus for VCE English. It's possibly a film that you know and love anyway. And to discuss it, Ross Huggard, one of our favourite English teachers, has rejoined us this year for Sunday School. He's an experienced English teacher and educational consultant. And he joins you now.
Morning, Libby.
Good morning to you, Ross.
How are you?
Shall we?
Absolutely.
Go on.
Let's go.
Because this is a really interesting film. 1954, I think it was made. Grace
Absolutely.
Kelly, Jimmy Stewart.
Well, it was released in 1954.
Yep. So, beg your pardon. And it's one of those films, well, goodness, that means it's 60 years old.
Yeah, 60 years old.
Why is it still on the syllabus?
Well, I think what we've got to understand is any text that's on there is deemed to have literary merit, but the focus for all the texts that are on the course, so there are 20 single texts, is on significant ideas and issues. In other words, ideas and issues that still have great relevance now, 2019. And this does. And in fact, this film, you could argue, has an enormous amount of shrewd, ideas that Hitchcock wants to portray, which you really need to tease out. Interestingly, Hitchcock said, he, of course, came from the silent film era, and he always said the most pure form of film is silent film. You only put dialogue when it's absolutely necessary.
Yeah.
So one of the challenges, I guess, for anyone watching, including students, is this is not dialogue-driven. This is driven by angles, by looking at people, by understanding and by trying to, I guess, analyse what they're thinking. And then there are some stunning, stunning lines that come out that stand on stalks.
Right. So isn't that the essence of filmmaking, though, show, not tell?
It is to an extent, but we tend to get driven by a lot of dialogue-heavy films. So, for example, the really popular film that this replaced was All About Eve, and it was a very much a dialogue-driven film with a lot of complex dialogue, wonderful lines. Mankiewicz, fabulous. He wrote the screenplay as well as directing it. In this case, there are some great lines. For example, one of the really big issues that recurs is voyeurism. So we have that through that. As in a lot of text, there's triangles, you know, in terms of two key people and another person comes in. So one of the people that comes into this seemingly romantic relationship that isn't working too well between Lisa and Jeff is Stella. What an ironic name, Stella for Star.
Ah.
And she, early on in the film, has all these moralising comments. You know, she talks about we've become a race of peeping Toms. So students need to think about how often the moral voice and the moral perspective early on listen to Stella, because she's got the lines.
So just for the setup, for those who haven't seen the film or who need to remind themselves how it is, take us from the start. The actual premise of the film is?
Well, the premise of the film is here you've got someone who is bored because he has a broken leg and he's stuck in his apartment, and his apartment looks out to an inner courtyard. This is a microcosm. So it uses a device which actually Jeremy Bentham talked about, the panopticon, where you can kind of think you can see everything, but this is an internal space. This is actually a private courtyard of a series of apartments. It's Greenwich Village in New York. It's post-World War II. And this Greenwich Village area has atypical people. So it has a whole lot of people that are very artistic, creative, bohemian, if you will. And so these people have been drawn together. Jeff, L.B. Jeffries, we all call him Jeff, he is, in fact, a photojournalist. So he makes his money out of taking shots and creating stories out of this.
Mm.
So he's created stories and he's named various people. So we have Miss Torso, and you need hardly guess why she's called Miss Torso, who's an aspiring ballet dancer, who in fact was only 18 when it was made. We also have Miss Lonely Hearts. Now, he dubs them these things. And what we see early on is he's very interested in labelling, in listing, and in justifying what he's doing. And he draws us into that world. So the opening of the film has a bamboo blind rising. Not as a lot of students want to say it's a curtain. It's not. It's a bamboo blind,
right,
which is part of his connection with, I guess, the exotic Far East and also the fear of communism, which sits behind this with McCarthyism.
Ah.
So that's all behind this. So this is, there's a whole lot of McCarthyism that sits behind this.
And that was basically, for those who don't remember, kangaroo courtism.
Absolutely, absolutely. And here, you know, if you were drawn by, you know, you're a communist, aren't you? Right, we're going to get you. And your career was destroyed. Your career was destroyed by innuendo, or you were pushed out of town.
And the way we were looked at that as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what we've got is, I guess, a whole set of views about the ways in which viewing can be for good reasons or bad reasons. So he's actually posing some questions. Can we be justified in looking at saying it's for public safety and this is right? Or, as Stella says, have we become a race of peeping Toms?
Mm.
Because in the McCarthy era, that was true. So that's one of the key elements.
Mm.
The other key element that's really set up is, of course, in using the most exquisite form of female probably ever on celluloid, and that's a big statement. Someone will shoot me down now. But that was Grace Kelly, and she was very young when this was made. She was exquisite.
She was the Meghan Markle
of her
time.
She really was. She was just beautiful with a beautiful voice and a very good actress. And, of course, Hitchcock liked these rather beautiful blondes. That was his thing about putting those on there. So here she is as the female. And at first we are drawn into Jeff's view. She's a bit dangerous. She's all about image. She's wearing a $1,000 dress. Who is she? But in reality, she's a very clever career woman. So she represents the 50s women who threaten the males who've come back from the war, like Jeff, who are not too sure about these women taking on new roles when I thought you were supposed to be chained to the kitchen sink. And that's very much the way that this film sets up its premise.
How do students today relate to McCarthyism? What is the connection that makes the film contemporary?
Right. I mean, obviously teachers talk about McCarthyism, and in terms of what they write in essays or indeed the exam, they shouldn't be giving a whole lot about it, but they need to understand the period in which it was actually made. After all, any text is an intentional text. And it's,
what does that mean?
Well, it's written for a particular purpose
right.
with a particular set of ideas, and the writer, or in this case the filmmaker, has particular ideas they want to convey in their own way for their own reasons. So Hitchcock was no exception. He was very mindful that people were frightened, you know, this fear of communism and the fear of the other. And he and xenophobia and all the rest. And what he's trying to do is actually take a different look at it and say, here's a man who looks at the world through a telephoto lens.
Mm-hmm.
On the grounds, it's in the interests of public safety or curiosity. Jeff says, I'm sure there's been a murder. There has been. And indeed, that's true. But then there's another moral question sitting behind. So in terms of McCarthyism, really, students need to understand this was an era of fear. This was an era of labelling. This was the era of peering at other people and saying, this is in the public interest. And they now need to say, well, what is actually being said through this film? What is Hitchcock really saying? Hitchcock is saying, well, maybe it's not. Maybe this is very dangerous and maybe it's a little naive. And it's set up through the plot, because Jeff himself is almost killed by the murderer, by Lars Thorwald. He's almost killed because he misjudges things. Lisa, the love interest, is almost killed as she takes on the role of the aspiring little detective on her own part with the help of Stella. So, in fact, there's naivety that sits inside there.
So in terms of film angles
sure.
and film techniques,
sure.
how does Hitchcock incorporate those themes, that is voyeurism and
great word.
Privacy.
Yep.
How does he express that through his
right.
camera angles and things?
Now, one of the things I guess that students need to be aware of is no one is saying write a list of camera angles and show that you're a media student. They're not meant to be.
No, because it's interesting, isn't it, writing an English essay on a film.
That's right. But, and remember, Victoria was the first state in Australia to ever do this.
Right.
This is that we're unique in this.
Of course we are.
So, of course we are. That was what the VCE brought in. But having said that, what we want them to think about the choices made to achieve it. So there are some important choices. For example, We see things early on through Jeff's gaze. So there's this whole idea of gaze, as in G-A-Z-E, and the male gaze
the
in
male
particular.
Gaze.
The
it's male gaze. The very male gaze. You can Absolutely. See it right from the start with Absolutely. The ballerina making her coffee.
Yeah, and that's set up very much that Jeff is doing that. And as the film progresses, we shift and we see, well, actually, Lisa and Stella have a role to play, and we see things through their eyes. Later on, we see it through Tom, who is the detective's eyes. But very important, we have the question about gaze. Now, one of the ways he achieves it is the camera's behind Jeff's shoulder at the beginning, and we're seeing Lisa through his eyes.
Right.
When she arrives, she comes into the room, she's framed, and students need to think about this, she's framed beside some still portraits that, well, photos that Jeff's taken. And in the middle, we have Jeff and Doyle. This is Jeff the He-Man. This is Jeff who was in a reconnaissance role in the war with Tom Doyle, who was the fighter pilot.
Right.
And he says, am I going to choose you in your exquisite Edith Head dress? Or am I going to choose the life that I know I'm really good at? And you can see that. Meanwhile, on the right-hand side, we have, well, on our right but on her left, we have a negative image, literally a negative, of this beautiful young blonde woman. So she's presented in negative terms. She becomes the negative force, the force that is a threat. And he says, she's too perfect for me. And
right.
Stella challenges him, well, what do you mean too? She's madly in love. And she said, no, she's too perfect. Because she is a threat to his whole male dimensions.
So it's 6 minutes to 12 o'clock. Ross Huggard is your guest. He is an educationalist and experienced English teacher talking about Alfred Hitchcock's Rear Window. We only have a couple of minutes left. We could go on forever. We could run
sure.
such a seminar on this. What is the best way to study this film, Ross?
I think the best way is to see the choices that Hitchcock's made. To look at this, it's not a big cast. It's a small cast. And to also consider the role of minor characters, how they become very significant in a series of ways in which ideas are presented about the role of women, about surveillance,
so
about typecasting.
Are different ideas or thematic ideas explored through the entrance and exit of minor characters?
Well, through their roles, and particularly through Jeff's interplay as opposed to Lisa and Stella. So, for example, you know, Lisa looks at Miss Torso, who's, Jeff's labelled her as this beautiful starlet who's out to get men. And she says, no, she's juggling wolves. What she's doing is actually trying to manage this very difficult world, this difficult lifestyle that women are categorised. Now, what an advanced view of women. We've got the issue of male gaze, female gaze. We've got issues about privacy. So I think what you want students to do is to think about the things that he's put in there, both the limited narrative, the careful use of shots, the way that there's interplay, and one of the things I think students need to be careful is not to kind of label it. This is not a standard murder mystery.
Mm.
This is not a romance. This uses all these devices to really cover some quite complex ideas.
So in actual fact, he's appropriated the guise of murder mystery
yes.
as to make it a
yes.
social comment film.
Yes, absolutely. If it were not, can you imagine a murder mystery film suddenly popping up as a VC text? No, it isn't. This is a much more complex text.
And that's why Hitchcock was seen as a master, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because what he could do was do those things in particular ways. Think about the way he sets it up. He actually sets it up, and students should think about why it's called Rear Window. It's Rear Window because it's looking at the part you're not supposed to see, the private world, which really raises that issue of voyeurism. And you could even go further sort of in a psychoanalytic way and say, well, maybe this is looking at Jeff's own problems are seen through what he sees. And very cleverly at the end, now the film uses a standard structure, a standard narrative structure, sets up a problem, it develops, it reaches a crisis, has a denouement, then it has epilogue. So the epilogue is brilliant. So in the epilogue, we have things reversed. We see Jeff not dominating over Lisa. Lisa's sitting on his couch in pants, which of course...
Empowered.
And she's reading Beyond the High Himalayas. Now, behind it, she has Harper's Bazaar, which suggests she will juggle the two worlds to suit her own purposes because she's a clever, new-age woman way ahead of her time. So watch out, men, because they're... And, wait for it, he's got double plaster now. So he's broken both his legs.
Right.
So my reading of that, he's like a chrysalid. He has to go through a transformation. Will he come out as a butterfly? Well, wait and see.
Ross, will you come back?
I would love to come back.
We would love to have you on our staff.
I'd love to come back.
As one of our consultants. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Libby.
Ross Huggard talking about Alfred Hitchcock's Rear Window.